All right. Day-specific holiday romantic comedies are super hot right now. I need you to start pitching me holiday-specific rom-coms immediately. What do you got?
Groundhog's Day.
Bill Murray movie.
Friday the 13th.
Hockey Mask Killer movie.
Independence Day.
Alien Invasion movie.
New Year's Eve?
Gary Marshall did it.
New Year's Day.
Too confusing.
Thanksgiving.
A horror movie.
Halloween?
A bunch of horror movies.
Mother's Day.
Bank robbery gone wrong movie.
Father's Day?
Billy Crystal and Robin Williams already did it.
Labor Day.
Ex-convict falls in love movie.
Okay. Hear me out. And this might sound weird, and it doesn't happen very often. Leap year.
Leap year only comes around once every 4 years. It's genius. You just slayed the cat.
I don't think I did.
Slay the cat. Slay the cat. Podcast.
Slay the cat is speaking truth. Slay the cat is proof. Hear us talk your favorite thing. Slay the cat is juiced. Slay the cat podcast. Slay the cat podcast. Slay the cat podcast. Slay the cat podcast.
Hello, all you Irish listeners out there. I messed it up. Hello, all you listeners out there. Are you guys Irish? Because you're making... Hey, all you listeners out there. Are you Irish? Because my penis is Dublin.
Gross.
I'm your host, Joey.
And I'm his wife, Erin.
And you're listening to... Slay the Cat, a movie podcast.
Do we usually say that together?
No.
Okay.
that was our old podcast.
I know.
You haven't seen it.
I know.
So anyway, I stumbled through that intro, and I'm not even sure if I did it right. But it was supposed to be that really bad Irish pickup line.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about.
I think I should have said, the size of my penis is Dublin. Are you Irish? Because the size of my penis is Dublin.
I think they get your penis is Dublin.
Well, I don't know. It just sounds better that way, I think.
Or you just say, I'm Dublin.
I'm Dublin. Well, I think I looked it up, and the real pickup line is my heartbeat is Dublin.
Really?
Yeah, because I saw you and it made my heartbeat faster.
Aww.
But I wanted to make it gross. So
but I thought it was penis. Gross. I thought it was about penises.
No, I think they both exist, but
because I've always heard it like, "Are you Irish? Because I'm Dublin." And I thought they were talking about their penis.
Oh, okay.
Because I've gotten that pickup line a lot.
You have
what?
What are some other pickup lines that you might have gotten?
I was joking. I don't actually remember any pickup lines that I've actually received.
But you have received some?
Maybe. I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean...
Most of the time, if someone comes in with a pickup line, it's like, no. Absolutely. Rejection immediately.
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of... In my head, I went like, people actually do that? That's like a real thing? And then I remember like, oh, guys also send dick pics.
Yeah.
Which is even dumber.
Yeah.
And I've never understood that.
Well, like... I can remember receiving a pickup line, but it usually just like means to a communication. But I've never like, I've just been like, haha, funny. Oh. And that's it. But I can't ever remember what anyone has said to me before. Cause it's happened several times. I just don't remember what they were.
If I was going to do something like that, I would like first be like, hey, if I was like gonna do an icebreaker, I'd be like, "Hey, what do you think about pickup lines?" Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't just say the lines.
Yeah,
like I would be like preferences. Like, I'm about to tell you a joke,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't actually try a pickup line.
Now, if it was really clever, then I'd be like, "Ah, that's good."
Right.
But I also I like I'm keen on jokes. Yeah, so
you love jokes.
The joke part is fun, but if it's super crude or crass, I'm like not into it at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Do you remember any bad jokes I told you when we first got together?
I know that you've told me some, but can I remember them right now? Not right now. I can't think of them right now. But I know there have been.
I remember us being in the car together, and I told you some bad jokes, and you laughed really hard at them.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is my kind of woman.
No, one of the times where... this is kind of a personal thing, but I remember when we were pretty early on, we were in the car together, and we were joking and saying he was telling me jokes and stuff. And then I told you that my uncle, he had a lazy eye.
Oh yeah, I know this one. I remember.
And they put an eye patch on the good eye so that it would straighten it out, but he kept bumping into things. And it wasn't because it was lazy, it was because he was blind in that eye.
Yes.
So he was bumping into things. And I did thinking about it, I didn't realize it until that moment when I said it. He was bumping into things, but he couldn't see.
Yeah.
And
it's very sad.
It's very sad, but I laughed really hard. I think I peed my pants.
It's sad, but also very funny at the same time. Because what a mistake to make. It's like, he just has a lazy
poor
eye.
Baby. Yeah. He was bumping into everything. Aw. My poor uncle.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about a romantic comedy called Leap Year.
Yeah.
It came out in 2010.
Oh, I thought it was 2008.
No, 2010. And the weird thing is, I don't think that was a leap year.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think 2008 and 2012 were leap years.
Yeah, 2012 and 2008.
Yeah. So it was released January 6th.
Maybe as in preparation for the next leap year.
They're just like, oh no, this idea is just too good. We got to get it out there. Mm-hmm. So it was released on January 6th, 2010, not a leap year. If it was a leap year, it would have been pretty close because leap year is in February, which is another weird thing because studios are known for dumping their trash in February.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This movie does not make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't.
From a marketing perspective, because who cares about leap year? It had a budget of $19 million, and it made $32 million worldwide. Hmm. So it made its money back, but it was not a hit.
I can see that.
Yeah, and I think if you talk to people about this, they'd probably be like, no, I've never seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But we watched it, and we're going to be talking about it shortly.
Yeah, I actually watched it before you. I think I watched it when it came out.
Yeah. Okay. So give me your background with this movie.
I watched it one time when I was a teenager in high school. And I liked it when I was a teenager because it was a romantic comedy. And in the last episode, if you listened, I talked about how I've always liked romantic comedies. And so I liked it as a teenager. But watching it again, I was like, ooh, yikes. But I mean, I appreciate it for what it is, but good it is not.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that at the end. Before we start talking about this movie, I want to mention that I finally, I took my daughter, our daughter, to see the Mean Girls musical that just came out.
I haven't seen it yet, which is funny because I'm the musical theater person.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have gone to see it if our daughter hadn't wanted to go see it. And it's late in the run of this movie, so I figured the theater would probably be pretty empty, and I could probably just sit there on my phone the whole time.
Yeah, and I wasn't able to go, so.
Yeah, but it turns out a lot of people were there, so I didn't want to pull my phone out and disturb them. So I actually sat there and watched the movie, and I gotta say, I liked it better than the original.
Really?
I thought that the screws were tightened a lot better on it. The original one, I think Tina Fey hadn't written a lot of movies at the time.
Mm-hmm. I think that was one of her first ones.
Yeah, that and Baby Mama.
Yeah.
I think those were her two first movies.
And she did Mean Girls before Baby Mama.
Oh, she did?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're right. That did come out. But anyway, so she did the screenplay for this too. Like she did mm-hmm. the book.
Yeah.
Is what it's called in theater.
In musical theater.
Right. And so I think maybe with more experience now, she kind of tightened down the screws and made the story flow better. The movie was almost 2.5 hours, but it did not feel like that. Hmm. And I didn't think the music was super memorable, but it was good. I did enjoy the music. But if you're like, hey, would you rather watch the original Mean Girls or the musical one? I'd be like, I'd rather watch the musical one, which made me think, Aaron, what are some adaptations? You know, they usually say like the original is almost always better than the cover in music. Yeah. What are some adaptations that you prefer over the original?
Is this just for movies?
Anything. Absolutely anything.
Mm.
Do you like the Alien Ant Farm version of Smooth Criminal?
I actually did when I was in high school, yeah.
You like it more than the Michael Jackson?
I don't think I would say I'd like it more. I thought that it was good when I was in high school. I mean, I haven't listened to it in forever. But they did a good job of like covering it.
I think that's a fine song.
I like covers of songs.
I do too, but only when they're better.
Okay. If you know me, you know that I love Elton John.
Yes, yes, you do.
He is a treasure. And
a worldwide treasure.
A worldwide treasure. Not just in the UK.
Yeah.
Okay? He is worldwide treasure. But this is kind of silly, but I bet other people would also be like, yeah, me too. I like that. The cover for Sing, where the gorilla plays his song.
Oh, yeah. It's
so good.
Yeah, Aaron Egerton or something?
I guess.
I think that's his name.
But that cover of When You Never Know What Is That? What is that song called?
I don't know. It's like, I'm doing just fine without you.
I'm still standing better than I ever did.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably Still Standing or something.
Yeah, I think it's Still Standing. But that was a great cover.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I love the original, but I would say I would prefer to listen to that one. Just, I think it's got a poppy tune to it. But other Elton John songs, I'd rather listen to the original. But that one I do really like.
Oh man, it's really hard to beat Elton John. He's such a talented guy, and I think he can write a song about literally anything.
But the other thing is, like, he can write a song and it be performed by so many people and it be, I mean, by certain people, because I feel like some people could probably not or could not sing Elton John's music and do it well. But whoever sang for Sing, they did a really great job. They did a fantastic job in that cover.
I want to say, I'm going off memory, but I think the guy who did that did the voice for that and sang that song
mm-hmm.
in the movie about Elton John, the biopic about him.
Oh.
He played him.
Oh.
Right?
So. Because whenever I first heard it, I was like, it sounds a lot like they have a very similar tone.
Yeah, they do.
And like quality of voice.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Well, my favorite adaptation that I think is better than the source material is The Shining. Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that it's more tight and concise.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
the book I heard is like insane.
Yeah, the book is really good, but Stanley Kubrick, he took it, and famously, Stephen King doesn't even like it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like it. But I think Kubrick took the essence of that book and he put it on screen in a really beautiful way that they left out a lot of details
mm-hmm.
that made it better.
Hmm.
Because the book has a lot more details and explains a lot of stuff. Like the woman that's in that hotel room.
Yeah.
That like
she's naked.
Yeah. Nicholson starts making out with her. They tell the whole story of that woman checking into the hotel and all this.
Oh, you know, so she's an actual person. Then.
Yeah. She was it's like a flashback.
Oh.
Like, she went there with a much younger suitor, and then the suitor disappeared, and, like, she became depressed. I don't remember, because I read it a long time ago. But, like, them leaving all that out makes that better in the movie to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really great adaptation, And the way they trimmed it down, like you said.
Yeah.
I think
they made it more concise.
Yeah, and I think they made it more concise, but I think that's usually a bad thing when you're making a book into a movie.
Yeah.
But in this, I think it made it better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my pick for my favorite adaptation that I like better than the source material.
I will say, though, I mean, I've not really read any Stephen King. I'm not a big reader.
Especially the novels.
Yeah. But I've heard that Stephen King is a little crazy with his writing and everything. So whenever he was writing some of these books, like, there's really great parts, but then there's also some of it's like, okay, this is too much. There's too much going on, or there's too many things going on, and it's not to the point to what it needs to be or would prefer to be. So I could see what The Shining would be like that.
Yeah.
Even though I've never read it.
Well, I'm not a big novel reader either, but I like the movie The Shining so much, I read the book.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like, I've only read like two or three Stephen King books.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that he kind of writes himself into corners a lot. But I don't feel like he did with The Shining.
Hmm.
Like, I felt like it had a really good ending. And the book, his book, he said, is a story about a woman escaping an abusive relationship,
mm-hmm.
and realizing she's in an abusive relationship, which I don't think Kubrick really understood.
No.
And
I don't see that.
Yeah. And then also there's all those stories about him treating Shelley Duvall really badly on set,
mm-hmm.
which makes me sad because she was great in that movie and she didn't deserve to be treated like shit on the set, you know? So I don't think Kubrick really got that part of it, though, because he doesn't sound like somebody who cares about women.
Yeah.
But still, I like the movie better.
Okay, right. Cool.
So you want to get into Leap Year?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Okay, so Leap Year, it's a romantic comedy. And it starts in Boston, and we meet Amy Adams, who's playing a woman named Anne. Do you like it in movies when the actor's name is really close to the character's name?
I don't know if I would say I like it, but I noticed it. I was like, Amy is very similar to Anna.
You don't think it kind of takes me out of the movie?
Mm.
Yeah. I couldn't stop thinking about that.
Mm.
But anyway, she plays a real estate person. She's not a real estate agent.
She's a stager for real estate. So she dresses up a space with furniture, art, and things like that so that people will come in and be like, oh, I want to buy that space.
Yes.
Because if it's empty, it's hard to see what the potential is. But when you stage it, you're like, oh, I can see what I could do with this place.
Yeah. What do you prefer when you go to see a house? Because we've looked at houses. We bought a house. Do you prefer it staged or unstaged?
I like minimal staging.
Minimal staging.
So I don't want the whole place fully staged, but like having some like staple furniture pieces in a house is helpful for you to kind of see the vision of like how things could be laid out in the home. The house that we bought didn't have any furniture in it. And so whenever we were like, oh, well, this could be this place and this could be this place, it was really open to what we wanted it to be. And originally I said, like, I want the dining table, and we have this like big front room, and I was like, I want the dining table there. So when we have parties and family over, it's just like, we can extend our table and just have a bunch of family around it. And, but we have a formal dining area next to our kitchen. And
I said, I don't want the dining table in the bigger room because I don't want people coming over here.
Yep. And so I mean, we've had our dining table in our dining room for the past 3 years since we've lived here.
Yeah, the whole time. Well, for a while we didn't have a dining table.
True.
So,
but then when we finally got the dining table, like, it was put in the dining room and it stayed there, except when we had parties and it was too big, like when we expanded it, it doesn't fit in our dining room. So we moved it into the bigger room because they're right next to each other. And there's like a huge opening to put it into. And so when we'd have parties, it's over there. And then just recently, like the past week, I stole our furniture for a show that we didn't ever end up getting to do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But when we got our furniture back, Joey put the dining table in the big room. And I was like, oh.
Just to see how it looked.
That looks great. I love it. And he's like, yeah, I like it too. And he like moved our desk into this, into our dining room. And I love this layout.
Yeah. So for, at first we had a formal living room and we had our computer in there, this big ass desktop, mm-hmm. and a filing cabinet and some other stuff in there. And when she brought back the dining room table, I'm like, let's just switch them around just to see how they look. Because mm-hmm. I had some free time and I was like, I can just move it right back if I don't like it. And I moved it around and I made her office and where the dining room is. And I put the dining table where our living room was. Mm-hmm. And I liked it better.
Yeah.
Because we can make the table bigger and we still have space to walk around it. And
which
then,
whenever our tables was the smallest it could be, I mean, not the smallest because it could be really small. It's very compactable, but also it gets huge.
Yeah.
So I really liked that aspect of our table. But when it was in the space, when we had it for four chairs, it took up the entire space and you had barely any room to move around the table. So with this, with it set up in here, you can have six people at the table and still have plenty of room to walk around.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the whole house flows better with it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all this ugly, like work stuff we have is now in the corner of the dining room where when people walk in the front door, they don't see it.
Yeah.
So it just, it's better. The only thing that sucks is we still have a chandelier
but
in the middle of this office. So we just have to replace the chandelier and it's perfect. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
So we got off on a real, all I asked you is, do you like a stage house?
Well, what I was getting at was if it would have been staged like that, I think you could have envisioned it like that more so with it being a dining room.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like a formal living room. Because it is a formal living room, but it's our space is kind of interesting. Like there's like holes in our walls into the other living room. So it's interesting.
The way you say like holes, it sounds like somebody just punched a hole in the wall.
There are cutouts, purposeful framed cutouts.
All right. Do you guys want to go on a tour of our house?
Sure. Anyways.
So you like staged houses?
I like minimal staging, like having like a dining table and a couch, knowing where the TV could go, having those basic things. And then in a room, in each room, having one bed just so that you know, like, oh, like this fits a queen size bed well. This fits a double bed well. This fits a single bed well. So that you can see like, oh, like this is the kind of space I would have if I put this size bed in there.
Okay. Because I'm the opposite. I like it completely unstaged. I like to see it completely raw.
Raw dog.
Without a condom on.
Oh.
I like to be, what's a good word? I like to be inspired by the rawness of that. I don't know. Just trying to make it sound even grosser, but I couldn't. But yeah, I just like, I'm good at visualizing stuff. So I just like to see it bare and I like to see how big the space is. I like to walk in the middle of the space and be like, okay, you know, this mm-hmm. is the distance from one wall to the other. If there's all the stuff in the way, you can't really see it.
Yeah.
So no,
that's why I say like minimal things.
Yeah. I get the minimal thing, but I don't need anything.
Mm-hmm.
Minimal's fine. What I really, really hate is when you go see someone's house that they're still living in.
Oh yeah, that's creepy.
And you have to see all their gross shit everywhere.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, just let you know if you want to sell your house, move out of it first.
Yeah, honestly, like or like rent a hotel for. Well, I guess you could might not be able to rent a unit that you could put all of your extra stuff in that you don't need. Every day, like you could leave your dining table, you could leave a couple clothes in like something, but like emptying it out as much as possible is going to be your best bet.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning into HGTV. Now listen to a few messages from some of our sponsors.
So yeah, I like a minimal staging, but I'm also fine with empty.
Right.
Because when we went to empty houses, I was like, oh, I can imagine. Because I imagined the dining table in there.
The only reason I wanted to try the dining room as the dining room first.
Yeah.
I was totally fine with moving it later on.
No, he wasn't. I'm kidding. Okay. Anyways, so she's a stager for real estate.
And she's very good at her job. I like this. I like in movies where the main character is a woman, they set up that they're actually good at something.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you used to see that in older movies.
Hmm.
They would like either be a ditz or just like, I want to be married and have babies.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that Amy Adams was good at her job.
Yeah. She still wanted to be married, but she also was her own person.
Yes, exactly. They developed the character well. And we find out that she's dating Adam Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to move into this apartment that's really hard to get called the Davenport.
Ooh, the Davenport.
So what do you think of when you hear the word Davenport?
It sounds like some highfalutin condominium.
Yeah. Because to me, it sounds like a couch.
Oh, okay.
Because there used to be a couch from Sears called the Davenport.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So I didn't like that name. Bad choice. And then they show her talking to a real estate agent, and she's literally telling that real estate agent how to do his job. She's like, here, bake these cookies. Well, and
he said that they've had 3 open houses and no bites. And so he was like, I really needed you to come in to stage it so people could visualize the place. And then she says, put these cookies in the oven 2 hours before you open.
Yeah, so she's literally telling him how to do his job. And she's right. I'm just saying, like, she's competent.
She's
in
the
her
stager.
Job.
That was her job.
I know. But I'm just pointing out that she's good enough at her job that she can be like, hey, real estate agent guy. Like,
yeah.
This is how you get offers and stuff.
Yeah, maybe he's new.
Maybe. I doubt it. So then she talks to her friend. Like, she's getting a dress made, and she's talking to her friend who is the woman from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You know her name?
Nope.
I forget her name. But she's the friend, and she's like, I
just saw your boyfriend, Jeremy. He was coming out of some store.
Yeah, and he's like, the only reason that anybody would go inside that store is to get an engagement ring.
Yeah, and she said, you're going to have a better engagement ring than me. And it just shows that, like, icky friendship. I didn't like it.
Yeah, well, she's not in the movie that much. I thought she was going to be in the movie more.
No.
Because you know how they always have the crazy friend to juxtapose the main character?
Yeah.
I thought that's who she was going to be.
They definitely didn't do that. I thought they were going to do more. Like, trying to remember back on this, I didn't remember this character at all. And I forgot that she was trying to get engaged to someone else. Like, the whole movie was all mixed up in my brain from what I remembered.
Yeah.
But she wants to get engaged to her boyfriend, and they've been together for 4 years.
4 whole years.
Without him popping the question.
Yeah.
And so she goes and sees her dad. She hasn't seen him in a long time. So they go to this bar to meet up, and he goes,
this is John Lithgow, by the way. Like, you may know him from like Third Rock from the Sun or something like that.
Okay.
But he's a famous actor. He's been in a ton of stuff.
I've seen him before.
Yeah, he's been in tons of stuff. And I was like, oh, John Lithgow's in this movie? And then he's in that one scene. It was just a cameo. I was really disappointed.
Mm-hmm. So he tells her, when she comes in, some guy was like, he tries to propose to her or something. And
it's just some drunk yeah. Bostonian.
He's like, will you marry me? And she's like, no, I'm actually going to be engaged. And her dad walks in when he hears that, and he's like, oh, she's engaged? I thought I was going to have to tell you to go take your boyfriend, meet your boyfriend in Dublin so that you could propose to him on leap year like your grandma did.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, some Irish superstition.
Yeah, so John Lithgow, basically his job is to come in and deliver exposition, which is the whole plot of the movie, which is there's a tradition in Ireland that if you propose to somebody on leap year, they can't say no.
Yeah.
Right? Did I get that right?
Yes. So the original leap year proposal is, it's for St. Patrick, for women to take the reins on February 29th for every 4 years. Touched by her plea, Patrick declared that leap year offers ladies the chance to pop the question.
Oh, so this is a real thing that St. Patrick's made up. Mm-hmm. So besides just chasing all the snakes out of Ireland, he said, hey, women, ask your men to marry you, but only once every 4 years. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah, so it's about a woman, Saint Brigid, a fiery nun who petitioned Saint Patrick for women to take the reins on February 29th.
Oh, okay. So it was a woman who really came up.
She wanted to allow women to be able to do that. Okay. I guess it was illegal.
And you knew all this right off the top of your head because you're Catholic, right?
Yeah.
She's not reading this off of her MacBook Air at all, right?
No, this is not on Google. It's not the first thing that pops up on Google.
It's not on the website http://www.
Female plus engagement plus on plus leap plus year.
So then Amy Adams is at a fancy restaurant with Adam Scott, and he's like telling her, you know, how much
he loves her.
He loves her and that she's good at her job and all this and how she deserves this. And he gives her a little box and she opens it and it's
earrings.
Oh, no.
So we got her earrings instead of an actual ring. And she goes, oh, they're earrings for my ears. And then he was like, oh, we'll put them on. And I was like, ew, gross. Because ears are disgusting. Why, do not take your earrings off at the dinner table. Your ears are gross. Wash them.
Yeah. And you did. You said this out loud on the couch as we were watching. They said, that's gross. And I was like, what? That she got a present? Like a really nice gift?
They were pretty.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't take your earrings out at the dinner table. Gross.
And then it turns out that Adam Scott, Jeremy, is a surgeon. And he gets called away from dinner. And there was some pun about aorta in there.
Yeah. She says, aorta, you aorta go.
Yeah. He's like, well, he gets a text and he's like, he actually texted me that. Like, you aorta be here.
Yeah.
So then he takes off and he's like, and after that, I'm going to Ireland because I have some business in Ireland.
Yeah. He has something to do in Dublin. I don't know what.
You doctor stuff.
Doctor stuff.
Yeah. I thought he was going to get caught doing something, but the movie decided not to go that direction, which I kind of like. I like it. The other romantic comedy we watched, the main guy that she was in love with never turned out to be a bad guy. You remember that? Her boss.
Yeah.
So I like that. And I like in this that like Adam Scott is never really a bad guy. He's just not
the right guy.
Yeah, he's not the right guy. So then she's like, okay, fine. I'm going to Ireland right now and I'm going to propose to him on leap year.
She gets on a plane and she's flying there.
Yeah, and she's sitting next to a priest on the plane.
Telling him all of her tales of this.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm gonna go propose to him. And then she's like, we've been together 4 years. I mean, that's a long time for that, right?
Yeah. And then he falls asleep because she keeps talking about it.
Yeah. Which I like that. I like that whole part.
And then all of a sudden there's a storm and then they have to land the plane, not in Dublin, but in
Wales.
Yeah. So she was dropped off in Wales and she's like, I need a plane. She can't find a plane. She can't find a boat. She goes to a boat place.
The ferry's closed because of the storm. So she gets on some small boat, like the boat from Jaws. She's like,
well, I'll find a boat. And so she gets on a fishing boat.
I thought when I was watching that part, I would have been like, that would be really funny if like Quint from Jaws was in there. You know, the old guy's like, I'll get your shark. I'll get you the whole damn thing. And then she says, you're going to need a bigger boat.
But he says, we're going to need to stop in Dingle. And she's like, no, we have to keep going. And then like this huge wave crushes over them. And she's like, okay, we can stop in Dingle.
Dingle.
So that's the name of the town where yeah. she's dropped off.
Which is a great name, I think. Dingle, because it sounds like Dingleberry.
Yep. And then so she goes. Yep. Yeah,
I don't even want to talk about this. Let's go right past it.
So she gets off the boat and she's walking in the rain to this bar. And she's like, she's got a Louis Vuitton bag. She's in heel, like $600 heels, dressed up. And she's walking into this bar full of these like drunk old guys.
Yeah.
And this one young man.
And she's Amy Adams. So she looks good even when she's soaking wet.
Hey.
I'm not trying to make like a wet t-shirt joke here.
No, I know. I'm but, saying, hey, don't like Amy Adams. I'm your wife. I'm just kidding, though.
I like you much better than her.
Good.
I don't even know her.
Good.
But she's like, when is the next bus coming through here? And they go, 1987. And she's like, 1987. And he says, that's the last time a bus has ever gone through Dingle to Dublin.
And then this other old man was like, no, that was when the bus stopped in 1989.
Yeah.
And so they're... brings up this relationship with these two to three old, all of the bar people, these older people that are just like, I say this, and then you're like, no, you're wrong, this is what it is. And there's that little comedic moment.
Yeah And I like the guys in the bar, they were funny. But it's also kind of an interesting way to write, like, oh, look, Dingle is very remote and far from Dublin. Right. Mm-hmm. Without them just coming out and slapping you in the face with it, like saying, like, well, no buses run through here and Dublin is 200 miles away or whatever. So mm-hmm. it was a more interesting way of saying that. And then she's like, oh, my phone's dead. So they point at the old school payphone.
Yeah.
And she goes to make a phone call on there for a taxi service. And the taxi service is like, no, we don't give rides to redheads or something like that.
Yeah, to redheaded Americans.
Yeah, and she's like, how did you know my hair was red? And the guy who is behind the bar, who is, his name is Declan. Yeah, he pops up from behind the wall like, yep, the taxi service is also here.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, you're also the taxi service.
Yeah.
Of course. And then she goes, okay, well... do you have any, or he goes, I wouldn't drive you to Dublin for 500 euros.
Yeah. Cause he also says that he hates Dublin and it's where like all the scum in the country live or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which will, there'll be more about that later.
Yeah.
But then one of the guys is like, "Who? I'd sell my wife for 500. What do they call them?
Euros?
Yeah, euro, that's it.
And then one of them goes, I'd buy her for that much.
And then she's like, okay, well, is there a hotel? And then she's like, let me guess, this is also the hotel.
And it is.
Yes, and it is.
So she goes upstairs and he brings her upstairs to show her room. And she's like, I haven't eaten. I saw that there was a menu, but, and then she's like, it's closed, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, but I can make you a hash sandwich or a hang sandwich.
Which we didn't know what that was.
Yeah, a hang is ham, Irish butter, cheese, and crisp lettuce.
Sounds good to me.
Between slices of homemade bread.
This is a real sandwich movie.
It looked delicious.
Yeah, I would totally eat one of those hang sandwiches.
I would too.
Yeah.
Give me a hang sandwich any day.
But this is a very sandwichy movie because he's eating another sandwich. Yeah. In the car. You remember the other sandwichy movie we did?
No.
Bad Santa. The old lady was like, yeah. I'll make you some sandwiches.
I'll make you some sandwiches. Yeah, she was. So he goes downstairs and makes her a sandwich, and this whole time she's upstairs in her room trying to plug in her phone, and she pulls like stuff off the wall, everything's falling down.
The curtains fall, then she knocks over like an armoire. I think that's what they're called.
Yeah, and then she plugs in her phone and it completely shuts down all of the electricity in the village.
Yeah, the whole village. Yeah, and then he comes up there to bring her the sandwich.
And he's like, what did you do?
He's like, she was like, I was just charging my phone.
And he says something about her being a woman.
Yeah.
Which, ugh. Anyways.
So this is typical of romantic comedies. Any, you have the meet cute, and then they're combative. Their relationship is combative from the start, right? These are the ABCs to romantic comedies.
Yeah.
So if you don't have it, don't even try to write a romantic comedy.
Yeah. So she then wakes up in the morning and she's gotten out of the shower and she's eavesdropping over the window and she hears that he's going to be foreclosed on by this weekend. He has to make a certain amount of money. Well, I don't know if it's necessarily that she hears it, but we hear it through her window.
I don't remember this part.
Yeah. That guy comes in and is like, you owe me 1,000 euros. And he's like, well, what about this much? And he's like, no, you can give me this much. And he's like, you need it by Friday or something, or like you need it by a certain date.
Okay.
You got a week or something. And so he goes up to her room and she's like naked changing. And he just barges in and he's like, I'll take you to Dublin.
Right. Cause now he needs the money. So he's like, I'll go to Dublin if it means it saves my bar.
Yeah.
Which I get why the sudden turnaround. I didn't know before. Yeah. And so she's like, oh, could you get out? I'm changing in here. But he won't leave. He just turns around.
Mm-hmm. And so she finally was like, yeah, you can bring me. And so he leaves the room and he's like, come downstairs in like 10 minutes. So she changes and then she comes out and like she had soaking wet hair and she comes out perfectly made up. And I'm like, you did not do that in 10 minutes. That's impossible.
It's movie.
I know. But then she sees this like old rusty little car.
Which apparently is a Renault 4, which I don't know. I don't know Renaults.
They don't
sell those in the United States, but I believe it's a French car.
I thought it was kind of cute.
It is kind of cute.
I would ride in it.
I'm a sucker for hatchbacks, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know I
you
like
are,
it.
You are. I like cute little old cars.
Yeah.
Like tiny little cute
like
cars.
Like a Toyota MR2?
Yeah. They're cute little tiny.
We haven't talked about our new car on here, have we?
I think we did.
We did?
We got a new car. Yeah. We talked about it whenever we talked about after we had our date.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did.
Can't remember shit.
But we're still loving it.
We are.
Yeah, I really like it.
So then the two old guys come out and she, like a black cat walks in front of her. And one of the old guys goes, well, you can't start your trip now because this is something else that had been happening in the bar the night before. He was like, you can't start a trip on a Saturday. That's bad luck.
Yeah. As soon as she gets to Ireland, everybody's like, well, you can't do this because that's bad luck, or you can't do that because it's bad luck.
Yeah. Everything's about luck, luck of the Irish.
Yeah. So, this is a big part of like Gaelic culture, I believe, where it's like, oh, you can't start a journey on a Sunday. It's bad luck to start one, but it's good luck to end one. And then I like that in the end of the movie where he's like, it's good luck to dig a well on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cute little joke, which I have written in my notes for later. So a black cat walks in front of her, and so he's like, well, you can't go today because a black cat just crossed your path. It's bad luck if you see a black cat. And he goes, no, that's if you see some kind of bird.
Hmm. A sparrow.
Maybe.
I don't know. I just made that up.
I think it starts with an M.
Yeah.
But he,
a marrow.
A marrow, yeah.
A bone marrow bird. Is a marrow a bird?
I don't know.
No. Doesn't matter. Anyway, they get on the road and we find out like she's still got 2 days left till leap year, right? So throughout the movie, they keep reminding us how much time she has left to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're driving. Oh, another thing about this movie is they use a lot of green screen. Like when she's in Boston.
A lot of green screen.
Like, why couldn't you just shoot in Boston?
Yeah.
You couldn't do one day in Boston? Or
if wherever you're at, just, like, shoot in that place.
Yeah. And then, I mean, like, this part, it wasn't too bad because it was, like, one of those old school driving scenes where you can tell, like, there's crew outside the car pushing it to make it look like it's rolling, which I like, but they had green screen in the background instead of projection.
Yeah, it was a little, it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my next note. Terrible green screens. So they're on their trip, and she throws a sandwich out of the car because he's pissing her off. And then,
well, yeah, like first she doesn't like his music, so she turns his music off because it's like Irish punk music.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes fun of her for, you know, this stupid proposal idea.
Because she tells him why she's doing this all.
Yeah.
And then whenever he makes fun of her, she throws a sandwich out the window.
Which also, that sandwich looked really good too.
I know, like, it did. I was like, I want that sandwich too.
I was like, party foul.
Joey,
man,
is a sandwich
foul
lover. Joey.
Am I?
Yes. You love sandwiches. He loves things between buns.
Yeah. That's a better.
Between bread. Which is sandwiches.
Yeah, I was about to say something very gross.
Oh, no.
When you said you like things between buns, I was like, you bet I do.
Gross.
Yeah, but my favorite food is cheeseburgers.
He likes anything between two slices of bread.
I like sandwiches, but I don't love sandwiches. I love cheeseburgers, and I like sandwiches.
If we go to a restaurant and there are burgers, there is a high likelihood that he will choose some type of sandwich or burger.
No, there's a high likelihood I'll choose a burger, but not a sandwich.
You'll also choose a sandwich, though.
I mean, sometimes I will get a sandwich if I go to Subway, because that's the thing that they have at Subway.
No, it's
do you,
like,
how
even
many, like, I don't come home and we like went make to a sandwiches
pub recently.
All day.
We went to a pub recently. And, like, they had other foods, and they had sandwiches, and you picked a sandwich.
Okay. But my sandwich was really good.
He likes sandwiches.
I do like sandwiches, but I don't love sandwiches. He does.
My daughter always goes, Daddy likes sandwiches. Daddy likes sandwiches. And so we always...
You know how that came around? Is because one day she wanted McDonald's, and I didn't. So I was a good dad, and I said, I'll take you to McDonald's, but we got to run by Subway and let me get a sandwich, too. Okay, oh. I was trying to make a healthier choice that day, cute. And then Joliet's like, the whole time we were going to Subway, Danny likes sandwiches.
He does, though.
Oh my god!
This whole time we've talked about sandwiches, and you're like, oh, I like that. I want to eat that sandwich. Granted, I have too. I like sandwiches too.
Yes, exactly.
But
I like sandwiches just as much as anybody else. It's burgers. Burgers are the thing that are like, that is my, you know, that is one of the heads of my Mount Food More.
I would say that you like sandwiches more than I do.
Maybe a little bit more.
Okay. we'll take it, I guess. So she throws his sandwich out, and then he starts playing his music again. Told you. And he... Like, so he turns his music on really loud again, and so she ejects it, and she's like, you want this? And she throws it out the window, and he's like, nobody touches my music. And he stops the car on a hill. This is important. It's on a hill, and it is an old car.
Yes.
I'm guessing.
But yeah, they retrieve the tape, and then there's some cows in the middle of the road.
But I'm guessing that the car is... manual.
Yeah, it could be. And the parking brake probably failed.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's an old car. That's what makes it make sense. If it was a brand new car and the parking brake automatically failed, the vehicle would have been like, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
But since it's such an old beat up car, you're like, oh, okay. But they're trying to get some cows out of the way, and he's just like, this is kind of when you start to figure out what his real personality is, and that he's not just an asshole. But he's just kind of a laid-back guy, mm-hmm. and he's like, she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm waiting for the cows to move.
Yeah.
Because he knows there's not really much he
yeah,
can do
cows
about
are
it.
Very stubborn. They don't want to move. If they're in the way, they're going to be in the way. They don't want that. They're, unless you got a cattle prop, that's literally why people shock them.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to take your word for this, because I didn't grow up in the middle of nowhere in Texas.
Well, yeah, I did, unfortunately.
Can they, like, I heard that the cattle prods, mm-hmm. like, it would shock the hell out of someone like us, but, yeah. like, the cows barely feel it. Is that true?
I don't know, because I'm not a cow.
Well, Miss knows everything about how stubborn cows are.
I don't know everything about cows. I just know that they are stubborn. So whenever he's like, well, I got to wait for them to move. Yep, that's justified because cows are stubborn. And even if you tried to drive your car into the cows would not move.
Well, sounds like you're an expert on cows. See how this feels when it's the other way around? When you keep telling somebody that they love sandwiches?
Mm-hmm.
And I keep calling you a cow expert?
Okay, call me a cow expert. I'm not giving you what you want.
Okay, so they don't have cattle.
I have never owned a cow. I will let you know.
Okay.
And neither has my family. Anywho.
Okay, so Amy Adams is trying to shoo the cows away to make room for the car to pass by, and she steps in some cow dung. That's what it's called, right, cow mm-hmm. expert? Cow dung?
I guess. I heard them called cow patties before.
Cow patties? Cow pies?
Yeah.
Okay. And she's not wearing shit kickers, which is what I think rural area.
Shit kickers.
Boots.
Oh.
Isn't that what they call them in Kirbyville, where you're from?
I don't think so. I think they just call them boots.
And she
now leaves. You just look stupid.
We're having way too much fun.
I know. There's not much to talk about with this movie, so so she somehow gets these cows to move out of the way by clapping at them, which that's not going to happen in real life. But it's a movie, so she claps them out of the way, and then she's walking back, and she's like, look what I did. I did this. And then she steps in cow poop.
Yeah, and she leans on the car to clean her shoe off, and the car rolls away.
Yeah, down the hill and into some type of bog or something.
A like bog a little or a creek. Or a spur.
Or something. But, not a river for sure. Yeah. It's too low.
So
too thin.
Declan is obviously upset about this because his car is now in a creek.
A crick.
I got a car in my crick.
I got a crick in my car.
I got a crick in my car.
I got a car in my crick. Okay, anyways.
Cool Irish accent.
That was not Irish.
Man, I should have done the opening with an Irish accent.
Oh, I've got a car in my crick.
Oh, excuse me. Are you Irish? Because my penis is doubling in size.
That was much better. You should have done that.
Oh, Irish.
Oh
the Irish the pickup Irish. Lineup. My heart rate is doubling.
Lassie. Oh, lassie. Anyways, so they walk to, is it a train station?
Let me see. I lost the spot in my notes. Well, first they're walking along and a van comes by. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, great, a ride. Somebody's going to offer us a ride. And Declan says, hey, don't go up to that van. Mm-hmm. And the van, he's like, hey, let me take your luggage. And he grabs her luggage and takes off with it.
And she's like, turns around to Declan to be like, see, I can do things on my own. And so she's about to get in the car, or she's turned facing away from the car, and the car drives away, and she turns around and she's like, what the hell? Like, give me my stuff back. And then
of course Declan's like, I told you.
Yeah. So they have to keep walking.
Yeah. And so they find their way to a pub, and she's gonna go make a phone call or something, and she sees the guys who stole her luggage, and mm-hmm. they've got like her underwear out and they're putting it on their heads and stuff. Yeah. I was like, who would do that?
I don't know, I guess. Yeah, but you're right. No, that's stupid.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a movie. So what? She goes in there to confront them. And I was like, wow, she's really got some moxie to go up to three guys like that.
Yeah.
And they give her a hard time. And then Declan comes in and he's like, okay, you know, he tries to settle it. Nicely, yeah. He's like, give the lady back her stuff. So mm-hmm. we see this guy is somewhat chivalrous,
yeah,
from him trying to do this. And then,
when they reject his offer of like giving her stuff back, he then fights them,
yes,
for her. Uh-huh. And she even joins in the fight. And I was like, good on you,
yeah,
Anna.
Yeah, and then I think Declan asks about her boyfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what she says to him. But anyway, they
she keeps just bringing up that he's a cardiologist.
Oh, okay. But throughout the movie, he has been calling her Bob.
Yes.
And you go like, okay, what?
And she keeps asking, like, what is this Bob? Like, why do you keep calling me that? And
yeah.
When she goes to the bar, he says, like,
this is at the train station.
Oh, this is at the train station?
Eah, they're at the train station. And
oh, you're right.
Yeah. And she goes, when is the next train coming through? And he's like, 2.5 hours.
It'll cost you some Bobs. And yeah. She's like, Bobs? What is this Bobs? And he goes, money.
Yeah. And so she realized, turns around and like glares at Declan,
because
like,
he's been calling her money.
Yeah. Which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah. And then there are more terrible green screens.
So while they're waiting for the train, Declan's like, hey, look, there's a castle over there.
Yeah, we should go check it out.
Yeah. And they climb to the top of it, and he tells her some fairy tale about somebody who was supposed to marry a king or something mm-hmm. like that. I don't remember the story.
Yeah, some girl was supposed to marry a king, and then she meets someone that she falls in love with, and so she slips him like sleeping pills or something, and then they have to run around through and like hide because they're after them. Mm-hmm. But then they find this castle, and then this is where the first time that they make love.
Yeah, so they get to the big view of this castle, and he's telling her the end of this story, and then what do they show us? A big green screen view of Ireland, which was like, okay. Like, this was a big moment in the movie. You should not have been using green screen.
Yeah. And it makes especially because it takes place, like, there's some shots in Ireland.
The movie is shot in Ireland.
So why couldn't they take some freaking shots in actual Ireland?
I have no idea. Like, something must have gone wrong, or they thought it was going to look better, which is like, you're an idiot.
Or maybe the location that they were shooting on, like, doesn't have any kind of view that they want. I don't know. It looks terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had the location, though. They were at that location. I don't know why they... Maybe there was not a good view at it or something.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe. Or maybe the day of.
Oh, yeah.
The weather was bad. Because I don't think the weather in Ireland is as
just reshoot it the next day. I know that you like have timelines and stuff like that, but like... Wait, like...
Send a second unit.
For real.
Yeah.
Get the same, like... shot and like layer it over top of each other.
Compositing.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called, but.
Well, you should. You do a movie about podcasts. Well. You're an expert on cows, but not. All right.
I am an expert on cows.
So then at the same time, she's like, okay, so you're using this to come on to me. He's like, no, it's just the story of the castle.
Yeah. And then she sees the train coming.
Hears it first.
Oh yeah, we hear a little beep, and then we see the train coming in on the tracks. So she runs down the castle, and she's like, "You're gonna make me miss my train!" And she freaks out, and she runs down, and she falls in the mud.
Yeah, and slides like halfway down the hill.
And he goes, "That was faster," which I thought was funny.
Yeah, and then they miss the train, but the guy who works at the train station is like, don't worry, we'll have a little bed and breakfast, aka a B&B, that we can take you to. So they get to this bed and breakfast, and
it's his bed and breakfast.
Is it?
Yeah, his wife.
Oh, okay.
Is the owner of, like that? Okay. She runs it.
Well, the funny thing is, they go and they see this woman, and she's like, oh, you guys are just in time. A couple of backpackers came here.
For the last room. But they came out and said they were not married.
Yeah. So to her, that's, you know, like an offense against God. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she turned them away. And then you can see both of them be like, oh, well, now we have to pretend like we're married.
Yeah. Or we're not going to get a room.
Yeah. And so they're like, oh, what's your names? Like, oh, they both say their own last name.
Yeah.
So they have to be like, oh, we're the O'Brady.
Yeah. Oh, is O'Brady Callahan?
Yeah. Yeah. So you can see that they're starting. This is the point at where you're like, oh, they kind of like work well together.
Yeah. And then like so she's so like covered in mud. So she has to go take a shower. But it seemed like it was like nighttime or something. But it wasn't, I don't know. It was, the timeline of this was kind of odd.
Yeah, but I think a lot of the interior shots were sets, and then they put like a big, like 6,000 watt light, like Fresnel type camera beaming through the
windows,
and it didn't look good. It looked, didn't look good to me. So it kind of doesn't tell you what time of day it is. It's just like, oh, there's light coming in every window.
Yeah. So they like flip a coin to see who's going to sleep in the bed, and he wins because he has a loaded coin. And so she takes a shower.
Well, did you catch what he said?
No.
He said, heads, I win.
Tails, you lose. Oh.
Which I didn't pick up until she mentioned it later. Because she gets out of the shower and she goes, I realize what you did. Mm. That's funny. I'm going to use that on Joliet someday. So that they fight over the bed, and I guess she wins it because she.
Well, she goes, loser or liar forfeit. Liar's forfeit.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So she gets the bed. And so, because she just had a shower, and this, she goes, well, you need to go take a shower because you stink. And he goes, well, I don't want to take a shower. The curtain's see-through. And she's like, what? No, it's not. And she's like, are you serious? Because he just saw her take a shower.
I missed that.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
That shower scene was weird.
Yeah.
And awkward. Her dancing was not good.
Yeah.
It's like, you know that it's just a curtain. Like, especially knowing, like, if I was in a room with someone that I did not know, and it was just a curtain blocking the bathroom, and like the shower was right in front of it, and someone was right outside the room, I'd be like, you need to leave the room so I can take a shower, please.
I'd be fine with that if it was if they just see a silhouette. Like, that's not a big deal. Or like, you know, one of those shower doors that's like, it's clear, but it's got that weird cover to it, so you can't really, it looks blurry.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't bother me.
It would bother me.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't want you to see the silhouette of my tits.
Maybe it's just because I was in the Army and I had to shower around people a lot.
Probably.
But anyway, she pimps him out. They say, like, you know, dinner is going to be made soon. So Amy Adams was like, oh, Declan is a really great cook.
We should have tripe.
Yeah.
Which is cow intestine.
Right.
And then she pimps him out, and she's like, he's a cook.
I told you were a cow expert. You know what tripe is.
She literally says it in the movie.
But you knew.
No. Only because she said it. She said tripe. Tripe is cow intestine.
But I'm saying you knew that before she said that.
No,
because you're a cow expert.
I didn't know that, actually.
Okay. So anyway, they're proving
him wrong again.
They're in the garden picking carrots and stuff, getting ready for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where they have their explanation of like, well, you know, why don't you just relax and go with the flow? And she's like, no, I can't, because I had a father who was like that. And, you know,
we had, our house was foreclosed on Christmas Eve, and my life was not easy.
Yeah. It was because,
as you think it would have been,
her dad was always doing new business ventures that never worked out.
I get that.
Yeah, I get that too. Both of our dads had a tendency to start businesses that didn't do well. But anyway, he then apologizes. He's like, that's not fair. Like, you should be able to rely on your father. And I was like, yeah, that's right. I'm so glad my child can rely on me.
Mm-hmm.
Made me feel good about myself as a dad.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I have a steady job.
Yeah. And I have a steady job too.
Yeah, we both have steady jobs.
So it's really nice.
Believe it or not, we don't make any money doing this podcast. So it's not this.
Yeah.
We don't make any money doing this.
Unfortunately. That would be cool, though.
Yeah.
So anyways, they have this experience, and then they go down and they start cooking together, and then they're all eating together, and they're like, "Oh, this is so good. This is delicious." And then they start. The older gentleman goes up to the wife and is like, he kisses her or something like that. And then the Italian couple that's there, because they're also there for some reason.
It's a bed and breakfast. Yeah. So if you've never stayed at one before, the whole point of it is like you're in there with multiple people, and at night you're supposed to come down and like hang out and like do activities with people and eat dinner with the other people and like mix with them, which I've only done once because my parents made us do it when we were kids. We stayed at a bed and breakfast near Dallas. I don't think I'd do it again because I don't like other people that much.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Anyways.
I'm joking. If you would want to do that sometime, I'd be down for it.
I've always wanted to go to a bed and breakfast.
All right. Well, let's do it.
Okay.
Because I do like people, and I think it would be fun to like eat dinner. As long as we're not staying in the same room with them, I'm fine.
Yeah. anyways, so the Italian couple, he kisses his wife, and like because he poured like a cocktail or something, and he's like 44 years, and he kisses her like really big, cute little kiss, like this old couple little kiss.
Yeah, it was endearing.
Yeah, and then the Italian couple's like, you know how much a couple loves each other based off of how they kiss. And
he said you should kiss each other like it's your first and last time.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of cute.
That is cute, but then they start to kiss each other
and they are making out.
It was way too long and it got really awkward.
And then everyone kind of was like, that's enough.
It was so funny to me because you had this first couple that was really cute. Mm-hmm. And then this other couple that was like, no, we're nasty. We're gonna shove our tongues down each other's throats.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish they would have leaned into it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, Declan, you need to kiss Anna. We need to see you kiss her too. And they're like, what? We've already done our kiss for the day. We're good. And he's like,
and then
what?
He tries to give her just a peck on the cheek, and so that they can get out of it.
And they're like, oh, they're just shy. Yanni, give her a kiss. Give her a real kiss. And then they have like an intimate, actual kiss, and you can see the sparks flying between them.
Yeah, you can see that they're starting to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Which it makes me wonder, like in so many of these movies, in the one we just watched, there's a kiss where two people kiss. And they're like, either they know that that's the person or they don't.
Yeah.
Do you think that ever happens in real life? Like the first time you kissed me, you were like, this is the man I'm going to marry.
No, I don't think it's real.
I don't think that's real either. But it's in so many movies and songs and stuff like that. Like, what's that song? Like, is it in his
something? It's in his kiss.
Yeah. Oh no,
is it in his eyes?
Oh no,
that's not the way. And you're not listening to what I say.
Okay, we got new mics and a mixing board, so we're really trying it out.
Yeah, sorry, guys. But we're not sorry. Anyways, so they say, oh, like that was a great kiss. That was a great moment. We can see how much y'all love each other. And they're like, oh, we don't love each other. We don't know each other that well. And then this is the moment where I was like, okay, I'm getting bored with the movie. The movie is like 90-ish minutes.
Yeah, I think it was an hour 40.
Is that including the credits?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, like the actual movie is probably more closer to like an hour 35 or something.
Yeah. So, but it feels like it's 3 hours long. because at this point I was like, okay, I'm done. It was a cute little moment, but I was getting bored with the movie at this point. So I took way less notes.
Right.
After this point. After this, they go to, they're like, they wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Is that Kesha?
Yeah, it's Kesha. Anyways.
Well, they go to bed that night and they decide to sleep in the same bed because the shower's kind of wet. And he says something about money. He's like, the money he owes her or something like that.
I don't remember.
But and then she gets mad. But then you think they might have sex, and then they don't.
Yeah.
And then that scene ends. It's kind of flat.
But they wake up, and his arm is around her.
Oh, I missed that, I guess.
And I love the way he lifts his hand off. He, like, does thumb, finger, middle finger, ring, pinky, and then lifts his hand, the palm off.
Okay.
Try not to wake her up. But then he gets out of the bed and wakes her up anyways. But he goes downstairs, and he grabs an apple, and she comes downstairs later on. She comes downstairs and she's like talking to her boyfriend, who she's trying to propose to. This whole time she's trying to propose to her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because of that superstition.
Yeah. But he's in Dublin and she's trying to get there and she can't.
And so he hears all of this and he's like, I think he was thinking that there was something going on, but, after he hears her talking about him, he was like, oh, okay, I guess not. And then she goes, okay, well, I have to leave for Dublin today to the train guy. And he's like, oh, well, we can't leave on – there's more superstition stuff. You can't leave on a Sunday. That's bad luck.
Yeah, you can't start a journey on a Sunday.
And she goes, well, I'm not superstitious. And he goes, okay, well, do you believe in train schedules?
Train schedules, yeah.
Because there's no train on Sunday.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll skip ahead a little bit to speed this up. They go walk to a bus station and they accidentally crash a wedding.
Yes.
Right in the middle of the vows. And they're like, you know, it's
because it starts hailing on them.
Yeah. It starts hailing on them. And they're like, oh, do you have any objections? And they're like, no, carry on. And then they have to pretend like they were at the wedding.
Well, they say, come join us.
Okay.
And so they sit down. I guess there's like a hospitality thing in Ireland.
Well, I was just assuming that they thought that they were supposed to be there.
Oh, no.
But anyway, they hang out at this wedding and they find out like what each other intentions are. And
yeah.
And he says he's bad at weddings and she tries to figure out why, but he won't say.
But then at the end of the wedding, after she's knocked the bride in the face when they were river dancing together, she's like drunk river and everything. But he tells her like, I met a girl or had a girl. We worked the thing together because she saw a picture in the armoire at the beginning when she was at the hotel. And she's like, oh, is it the blonde lady that you had proposed to? And he's like, yeah. And she was like, and who was it with? The guy, it was the same guy that was next to them in the picture. Cause they right. all three bought a bar together. Mm-hmm. And then she left Declan to be with the other guy.
Right.
So she kind of feels bad for him, or I don't know if it's feel bad, but like gets where he's coming from at least.
Yeah, she understands why he's surly and he's been making all these snide comments about her plan to propose mm-hmm. because he's had his heart broken. And, you know, that's happened to everybody. You know, like right after you've had your heart broken, you see other people who are happy and it makes you angry,
mm-hmm.
right? It's human nature. But anyway, she gets drunk and she gets real with him and I can't remember exactly what she says. But do you?
Mm-mm.
I mean, anyway, he has to carry her off.
Yeah, she throws up on his shoes and
yeah,
he just picks her up and brings her to the bus stop.
Yeah, they're at the bus stop and she had fallen asleep on him during the night. And she wakes up and leaves. And then he wakes up and he sees a bus drive by and he's like, oh, no, she's on that bus.
Yeah, she left me.
Yeah.
But then she comes out of the store or comes out of a cafe with some coffees. And so that you see, oh, she didn't leave. She was just going to get coffees for both of them.
Yeah.
And she sees him looking out at the bus being like, oh, he thought I left, but I didn't. So she sees that he cares about her.
Yeah. And you know what this, at this point, it reminded me of?
What?
Another movie we did called Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
Because there's a part where they wake up and John Candy's arm is around him.
Yeah.
Remember that? And then there's a part where Steve Martin disappears and he thinks that he's gone, but he comes back.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, wait, this is just trains, planes, and automobiles, except for they fall in love at the end.
She goes up to him and she's like, you thought I left? And he's like, yeah. She goes, I need you to take me to Dublin. He's like, there's another bus in 20 minutes. You don't want to go by yourself. And she's like, no, you need to take me there all the way.
Yeah. Cause I'm paying you to take me there all the way.
Yeah. So,
and you can tell they like each other now too. So,
yeah. So they get on the bus and then you see her like resting her head on his chest.
Yeah. They're both asleep on the bus and she's leaning on him.
And they make it to Dublin. And they go to the hotel where her boyfriend's at, and he's about to leave, and she tries to pay him, and she goes, no. He goes, no, just pay me for what you owe me for the B&B night, which I don't remember what that was.
No, he says I just want one bob, and it's the one that we flipped for the bed, right? Because he's trying to say like, look, I don't want the money anymore. I want you. And like, this little bob is important to me.
Yeah.
But I don't think she really picks up on it.
Also at the wedding, she says something, or when they're in Dublin, she goes, cause he seems like upset. And she goes, is she here in Dublin? And he confesses that she is in Dublin.
Oh, that's right.
His ex-girlfriend or his ex-fiance. And, she's like, you should get your ring back. Because his ex-fiance has the ring that he talks about earlier in the movie.
Right.
Which I don't think we talked about. Because there's this thing.
Oh, yeah. There's a running thing in it that this is important to the movie. Is he asks her at one point. It's like, if your house is burning down, what would you grab? And she doesn't know.
Yeah. This is at the castle.
Yeah. And then later he says, she asks him the same question. He's like, I would grab my mother's ring.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I don't have it because I gave it to this woman who ran off with another guy.
So when they're in Dublin, she goes, you should get it back.
Yeah. And then also that'll come in later in the movie. We'll talk about it. But she meets up with Adam Scott, her boyfriend, and just right before Declan is about to confess his feelings for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't know what to do, so he just leaves.
Yeah.
And then Adam Scott is like, well, I might as well just propose to you.
Yeah.
Like, he's not making a big deal out of it.
He was like, also, there's one point where he calls her, or she calls him, and he tells her that they got the condo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. When they're at the bed and breakfast, I think.
Yeah. When he's there, he's like, I missed you, and it made me think we should just be together. We should be married. And so since he's gone, she's like, okay, yes. Even though we can tell that that's not who she does want to be with anymore. Right.
And then, it goes back to Boston, and, just before they do that, we see Declan meet up with his ex.
Yes.
But we don't really see much play out with that. And then back in Boston, they're having an engagement party at their new place in the Davenport, their shitty couch.
Yeah.
When I was in the army, there was some guy, he was telling me once that his grandfather, he would be over at his grandfather's house. His grandfather would go, get off the Davenport. Every time I hear that word, it makes me think of that. This kid getting yelled at by his grandfather to get off the couch.
So they're at this party, and then we also flash to Ireland, where Declan is working in his bar, and he's doing like this big fundraiser. People are trying to like help him make enough money to pay for the bar,
right?
Or pay his debt.
Yeah, and things are taking off there. Like, people are going into the bar and drinking and eating and having a good time. Like, things have really turned around there.
Which I don't know how that happened.
Well, I think it's just supposed to be like, oh, he's not a surly asshole anymore. So people want to go to his bar because they're making good food and the clientele is fun. It's become like a cool place to be because he's not such a downer.
Yeah.
A Debbie Downer anymore.
And when we're at the, the engagement party in Boston, it's revealed to Anna, Amy, that the reason that he proposed was because the way to get, because they were suspicious about them not being married and the traditional.
The apartment was, it's so hard to get this apartment that they called him and asked him like what their marital status was. And so he got a little spook that they might not want to give them the apartment unless they were married or engaged to be married. So he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to propose in a couple hours. So yeah. And then she does something interesting that didn't even like hit me right away. The fire alarm starts going off. And I was like, why would she pull the fire alarm? And then I remembered like, oh, his thing, like she was trying to see what
he would take.
Yeah. And he doesn't know.
Yeah. He grabs like a laptop and he's like, I need the remote for this to work. And he's like grabbing a bunch of random stuff. And so we see her like listening to him figure out what to grab. And then we cut to him again. And then he asks her a question. Then we cut back to the living room and she's not there anymore. So she's left.
Right. And you realize, like, oh, he doesn't know what he wants. So that made her think about Declan.
And she knows what she wants.
Yeah. And now she knows what she wants, which, yeah, that's a better way to put it.
Because previously she didn't know what she wanted.
Yeah. So, Aaron, I got to ask you, what would you grab if our house was on fire?
And it can't be like a person, because I'm going to shoo you guys out first. For sure.
Yeah, yeah. As long as Joliet and I are out of the house.
Okay. I
thought I was setting you up.
It's hard because like I would wanna take my grandma's dining table, but that's so big and heavy. But like that's like one of the only things I have left from her.
Yeah, I know, I get that one. You know what I would take?
What?
This.
Oh, yeah. That's so smart. It's a hard drive that has like so much of our stuff on it.
It has our wedding video and our wedding pictures on it.
Yeah. That's sweet.
Is it?
I thought you were going to say like my grandpa's chair.
No, I don't care about all that stuff. I want to remember our wedding.
Yeah.
All this other stuff is replaceable.
I have it on Facebook. I have the pictures on Facebook. I don't have the video. So that's even better.
Okay. So maybe we should put all that stuff online. That way, if our house is on fire, I don't have to run back in here to get it.
Maybe. And you can grab something else.
Well, I'm really glad we did this movie. All right. So she goes back to Boston. Not Boston. Ireland.
Ireland.
Ireland. That's my Irish accent. And it's funny. I like the way that you know that she's back there because she sends the chicken back to the kitchen and she's like, they're like, oh, they're saying this is dry. And he's like, no, it's not. This chicken is delicious. So he goes out there to confront the person and he's like, which one of you bollocks?
Yeah.
Says my chicken is dry. And then she was like, I did.
And then she kind of confesses. She's like, I'm proposing that we don't make plans together. We just be together and that's it. And we just, which I kind of feel like is us. Like we don't make plans. We just do things sometimes.
Well, yeah. I mean, this part made me think about, I'll get sappy for a moment.
Aww.
When we were getting married and we read our vows, the last thing I said was, I want to improvise the rest of my life with you.
Yeah.
And it's true. And that's what we've been doing ever since.
I know, yeah.
So it did make me think about that. But that's not the same as not having a plan.
Yeah.
You know, you could when you're improvising, you can have a plan. You can go into a scene with a plan, but you might have to throw it out.
Yeah.
So that's what's
different. You have to adjust. You have to improvise.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it has been our entire life. Our relationships together, Joey and mine, our relationship has just been improvised thoroughly. Like you even asked me during this movie, like something about, aren't you glad I didn't take 4 years to propose to you. And I was like, you never proposed to me. We just somehow got married.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened. Like, it wasn't.
It's one of the weird confoundments of our relationship that yeah. we just went from dating to having a baby to getting married without ever even talking about it.
Yeah. It's just so happened.
Strange. Yeah.
Was just laid out how we needed it to be laid out.
Yeah. We improvised it. We literally yeah. did. We didn't plan it out. We just like made eye contact with each other and we're like, this is happening?
Yeah, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah.
If you don't do improv, eye contact is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. So she proposes that they don't make plans and then he walks out of the room. And so she says, okay, I guess that's an Irish no. And so she walks off and she's standing over some cliffs over the water. It's so pretty. These yeah. shots.
These are real shots, finally.
When I first watched this movie, I was like, I want to go to Ireland to see that specific area. She's like looking out at the water and he walks up to her and he goes, why did you leave? And she goes, because you said no. And he goes, I didn't say anything. And she goes, but you left and you,
I had to get something. He said,
she said, this probably wasn't the best time to go get something. And he says, I think it was. And then he shows her his mom's ring, the one that has the hands holding the heart with the,
yeah.
Is it a burning heart?
I don't know. I didn't look. Like but anyway, this
heart with thorns.
I like this part of the movie because it shows like they've met each other halfway. Mm-hmm. In a lot of these romantic comedies, it's like one person changes. Oh, jeez. Sorry about that. My alarm went off. But there's always, usually, there's one person that changes and there's one person that stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, both of them met each other halfway. She's yeah. like, I'm going to stop planning everything out in my life to a T because I'm not really getting what I need, just what I want. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm going to be more assertive and go after the things that I want.
Yeah. So he says, before he like proposes to her or anything, he says, I reject your proposal because I want to make plans with you. And then he proposes to her and she says, yes. And he, then there's these old, the older guys, they come out and they go, oh,
good luck to be proposed on a Sunday or whatever.
Yeah. Something like that. And then the other one goes,
It's also good luck to dig a well
on a Sunday. And he goes, do they look like they're digging wells? do they look like they're digging a well? Which it was a funny little joke at the end. And then, we see them getting married. Like we see them in the car.
Yeah. They're in the car together and they recall like every single bad joke that they've done
throughout this movie.
Yeah.
In one scene.
Yeah. Ones that were so lame that we didn't even mention them in the podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it pans off into the countryside and says the end. Because yeah. we couldn't figure that out on ourselves.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Aaron, I have to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 9 cat lives, how many cat lives did this movie slay?
Okay. I'm going to say probably 4 cat lives.
Okay. 4 cat lives.
The movie...
Not great, but not horrible.
Yeah. I've seen it before and I didn't hate the movie. There's a lot of things to not like about it, but there's also some really sweet parts that I really do like. Like bed and breakfast, all that whole thing in the bed and breakfast. I've loved that. Those are the parts that I remember the most from whenever I first watched the movie. And then the very end scene, like there's some moments in it where it's like, really great work. Amy Adams, I mean, she's a great actress, but I think this movie just doesn't it's not written that well. But that's not Amy Adams' fault.
No, I think that's a problem with a lot of rom-coms is that the female characters aren't just well-written. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, they just don't have enough behind them.
Yeah, but...
And this one's no different.
Yeah, so there were some really sweet, cute parts, but overall, it's not... It is not going to be my top three rom-coms by any means.
Okay.
All right, probably, not even.
Our rating scale is a little weird. It's 1 through 9, right?
Yes.
So that means if something is a 5, it is a just perfectly right down the middle movie. It's not great, but it's not bad, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's right in the middle of that scale, 5.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's just under...
Just under... Not good, not bad.
Right.
So okay. It's just a little bit more bad than good.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
The green screens really take you out of, especially like the green screens take you out of like everything that's happening.
Right.
And I could not focus on what was going on because of those ugly ass green screens.
Yeah. I'm going to give this movie a 5 cat lives out of 9 because I think for a romantic comedy, it's just like, right down the middle, like run of the mill. There's 1,000 of these. I've never heard anybody really talk about it. It's just kind of, it dawdles along. Like I kept waiting for something more big to happen. Like they're on the road going to this place. It's like, you just keep stopping at one bed and like every place they stop at is just like the last place that they stopped at.
Yeah.
The wedding didn't feel very special. Like the end in every romantic comedy, the end where they're supposed to make this big gesture to the person, it's like, okay, she shows up and orders chicken.
Yeah.
That's not big. Mm-hmm. The ending was a real letdown. I feel like you could have had more running jokes or, you know, some funny stuff to keep us entertained during the more boring parts.
Yeah.
And of course, the green screen was really bad. As far as rom-coms go, it's probably one of the lesser ones, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hence why I gave it a 4.
Yeah. I mean, this could have been a 45-minute made-for-TV movie.
Yeah.
And it would have been much better.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, sorry to all you leap heads out there, but that's how we feel.
You're leaping leprechaun heads. for our last little end segment, we're going to play a little game of real or fake.
Real or fake.
Real okay. or fake.
Aaron made up this game. She didn't tell me what it is, how we play it, or anything about it. So this is all being dropped on me right now.
Okay. So. And whenever I say real, I need you to do air quotes, okay? Because it's real. Or fake. Because it's superstitions. Okay? So these are superstitions. Are these real superstitions?
Okay.
Or are they fake superstitions? Like they're made up superstitions that one thinks that are real.
I love superstitions.
I do too. I think they're so interesting.
Yeah. I used to play baseball, and baseball is the most superstitious sport, at least in the U.S.
Theater is super superstitious.
Yeah, it is.
So it's interesting. Like something that we've been doing this year is we've been taking our theater ghost along with us to clinics.
Oh my God.
So we have this like lantern with like little tokens and trifles that we've put inside of it to like appease her. Cause she's been real angry this year.
Wow.
But
she's not happy about the HISD takeover.
I don't think so. Or maybe it's our principal. I don't know. but we've been taking it with us. And so we have a lot of superstitions, but I don't believe in them. I just think they're fun to like play
along
with.
Yeah. I'm totally with you. Oh, also, the military has a lot of superstitions too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I think the Marines probably have the most, but I remember there was this one, like, don't eat the Skittles in your MRE.
Oh, yeah, why?
It's bad luck. Well, in the military, they say bad juju, which is...
But they're Skittles.
I know, but they say don't eat them.
Do they suck?
No.
Have you ever eaten them?
Yeah, I ate them every single time because I don't care about superstitions. But in the military, they say bad juju.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're, you know, like people will be like, oh, if you sign life insurance, you'll get killed or something like that. So, you know, people are weird.
Yeah, I get it though. Like people take break a leg so seriously in theater. And if you say good luck to someone, they will get so mad at you. People, like even students will go up to other students when we have contests and say, hey, good luck. And they're, our students will be like, oh my gosh, they cursed us. Like they said good luck instead of break a leg or good show. And so like, that's a, our kids are very superstitious. So these are superstitions. I have 10 of them. Some of them are real, quote unquote, and some of them are fake.
And it is my job to suss out which one those are.
Yes. Okay. The first one is accidentally putting your shirt on inside out is good luck. Is that real or fake?
I'm going to say that's fake. I've never heard that one.
It is, quote unquote, real. I don't know why it is, but that's
great researcher.
Well, I had it up, but I closed it. I guess I should have put something else, like a little blurb underneath it. Anyways, some of these I know why, like their little things are.
Okay.
Opening an umbrella indoors means your fire sprinkler will set off soon. Real or fake?
I don't know the part about the sprinkler, but I know opening your umbrella inside is known as bad. So I'm going to say it's real.
It's fake.
Oh.
So it is bad luck to like open your umbrella indoors, but it's not going to mean your fire alarm or sprinkler is going to go off.
Okay.
Okay. If you have pain in your left or right hand is itchy. Oh, if the palm of your left or right hand is itchy, money is coming in / leaving you. So if it's itchy on your left hand, money's coming in. If it's itchy on your right hand, money is going out. Is that real or fake?
I'm going to say it's real because I have heard the thing about like itchy palms means you're going to get money, but I didn't know the thing about the left or right.
Yeah, that's my mom. It's real. It's a quote unquote real. My mom was very particular. Like she would, anytime her left hand would itch, she's like, oh, I got some money coming in. She would always tell me that. So, but I knew it was left and right because my mom would be like, oh, your left hand's itching. That means you got money coming in. But the left side or the right side, I didn't know that one. Okay. Having a bird poop on you is good luck. Real or fake?
Man, I want to, I know like having a ladybug land on you is supposed to be good luck, but mm-hmm. I know bird poop.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, man, I've been pooped on by a lot of birds and I'm pretty unlucky. So I'm going to say that's fake.
It's real.
It's quote unquote real.
Quote unquote real. I've known that superstition. One time we were walking. My family is very superstitious too. Like my mom's
I've
side.
I've kind of noticed.
but one time we were walking in Galveston along the river walk, the boardwalk, I guess it's called. No,
the strand,
the wall thing.
It's called the strand, right?
Sure. Anyways,
the seawall.
That's what it was. And, my cousin had a drink, like it was like some type of like slushy thing. And we were walking and a bird pooped on the side of it and on her. And whenever that happened, my brother was like, that's good luck. And she's like, my drink is ruined. So.
Wow, that's funny.
But they were like,
hey, that's good luck. Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks. Real lucky. My drink got ruined.
Okay.
I got pooped on in Galveston when I was a kid.
There's a lot of birds there.
Yeah, the seagulls, they poop everywhere. But I remember, it was like a fake Sea World that used to be in Galveston. And mm-hmm. we went to it and I got pooped on by a seagull.
Ready? If you rub two black cats together, they will go back in time. Real or fake?
That's definitely got to be fake.
It's definitely fake.
Two black cats.
I thought that was so funny. I have heard if you take two cats, when you introduce one, if you rub them together, they'll like each other more.
I can't imagine like trying to rub cats together.
I've seen a video of someone doing it and everyone's comments underneath were like, it's trauma bonding. Okay. Next one, bad luck to set out on a Sunday. So to bad luck to start a journey on a Sunday, is that real or fake?
Well, we just saw it in this movie, so I'm going to say it's real.
It's fake.
Oh, really?
This is not real. It's actually good luck to start a trip on a Sunday.
Oh, wow.
That's what the real superstition is. If you fart in your mattress, you will sleep better at night. Like fart into it.
You were going to say if you fart in your mouth. I thought you were going to say that.
If you fart into your mattress, if you fart you'll into sleep your better
I'm gonna
at
say
night.
That's fake. That sounds so ridiculous.
That's fake. I made it up.
Okay. I'm going to start telling people that.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I don't know. But originally what was wrote was, if you fart in your mattress, it'll make you sleep warmer at night. But I was like, because I thought like heat. Anyways, dolphins alongside a ship is a bad omen, real or fake? Dolphins along the ship is a bad omen.
I'm going to say that dolphins by your ship is a good thing, I feel like. So I'm going to say that's false.
You're right.
Okay.
It is a good omen to have dolphins and other sea critters along your ship. But to see them like... I was about to say flying, but see them swimming along your ship with your vessel. Okay. When you pass a graveyard, taking a deep breath is good luck. Real or fake?
Breathing all those dead people farts. I'm going to say, yeah. I'm going to say that's a real superstition.
It's fake. It's fake. You're supposed to hold your breath because you don't want to breathe in all of the bad spirits.
Okay. I thought I heard something like that, but
yeah, it's also like a sign of, the spirits will be upset with you because they can see you breathing.
Okay.
And so they'll haunt you.
Hmm.
Or like they'll possess you if you breathe them in. Anyways. Okay. Last one. Itchy feet is a sign of a trip coming up.
Itchy feet. Well, we did the money with the itchy palms thing. So I'm going to say this is not true.
It is real.
Oh my God.
This is a quote unquote real one. So it says that if your feet are itching, it means that you're... feet are anticipating the trip that you're going to take.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are some goofy little superstitions. And you learned a little bit about our beliefs on superstitions.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Slay the Cat, a movie podcast. If you want to write in and tell us to do a movie or tell us how wrong we were about something, it's joeyandaaronpod@gmail.com.
E-R-I-N.
Yeah, E-R-I-N. It's all spelled out. No ampersand or whatever the hell that thing's called.
Yep, that's right.
So write us about anything. You know, just tell us how your day is going. We don't care. Mm-hmm.
Any mail is good mail.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for us. Don't forget to slay and neuter your cats. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.